Last week we talked about the fact that there is true sound doctrine and then there's false doctrine. How many of you believe that there are still false teachers in the world today? Do you believe that? There are false teachers, false religious teachers in the world. Absolutely. In fact, Paul called it doctrines of devils. Now, you know, when we talk about doctrines of devils, how does the devil propagate his doctrine? How does the devil propagate what he wants people to believe? Well, he uses people. Just like God uses people, Satan uses people, and there are doctrines of devils. And we said last week that the Bible is a very blessed book when it's taken in context. But whenever you take the Bible and you put it in the wrong hands and you get a false teacher, what they do is they take the Bible out of what? Context. And when they do that, the Bible becomes a very dangerous book. Very, very dangerous. It's like I said last week about the knife, you know, and how the knife could be a blessing and the knife could also be used for destruction. And I was thinking about Friday. I was in the backyard and I had some hedge clippers and they were really good. I was using them and I was taking some, you know, bushes and trees that had grown over from the neighbor's yard, and I was trying to cut it back to my fence line. And man, I mean, I'd take those hedge clippers and I'd put them on a big old branch and just snip it right off. And I thought, man, these things are a blessing in my hand. But if I were to take those hedge clippers, open them up, put them over Shannon's ear and go whoop, would y'all agree that would not be a blessing? Amen. And you know, and in the same way, you take the Bible and you put it in the wrong hands, you put it in someone who's a false religious teacher, buddy, I want you to know that that Bible can be a very dangerous book. And so we have to be able to detect true from false. We got to be able to detect that. And that's what this text is about. Paul is dealing with that. We talked last week in part one about how you have to be able to understand the doctrine of Christ that God gave directly to the Apostle Paul for us today. But the second thing I want you to write in this morning is this. Number two, if you're going to know true from false, you are going to have to refuse to get ensnared with strange doctrines. Strange doctrines. You say, Pastor Dan, what do you mean strange doctrines? Well, let me ask you, do we have any strange people in here today? We're all a little strange, aren't we? Would you agree with that? We're all a little strange. Hopefully you haven't gotten ensnared in any strange doctrine, though. Look in your handout. I'll show you where I got that from. Hebrews 13:9. It's in your handout. It says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. In Paul's day, there were people who were, they had all kinds of weird religious teachings about diet and food, and that was very big in Paul's day. And he said, man, they got all these strange doctrines. Question, do you think there's any strange doctrines out there today? Last week we talked about the doctrine of Jesus Christ that was given from heaven to the Apostle Paul. He gave it to us. I want you to look at our text, and I want you to go to 1 Timothy 6 and look at verse 3. He says, if any man teach otherwise, he says, Timothy, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now let's stop. Paul tells his son in the faith, he says, son, you stick by the stuff I've given you because it came directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gave doctrine to us, to the church, the body of Christ, that he said is according to godliness. In other words, it leads to godliness in our life. Look at, do me a favor, put your bookmarker or your handout in this passage, because we're going to go right back, but I want you to go forward two books to the book of Titus, chapter number one. Just go forward two books, go through 2 Timothy, and then that'll bring you right to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, and look at verse number 1. Titus 1, 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. It leads to godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in, notice, in due times, he's manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. All right, do you see that Paul got it from Christ And he said, I got it, and now I've given it to you. And he tells Timothy, and he tells Titus the same thing. The doctrine I'm giving you is truth. Therefore, it's going to lead you to godliness. Now, I want you to flip back to 1 Timothy 6. Go back to our text. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, you got to follow the correct instructions, and you got to follow the correct pattern if you want to get the result that you're looking for. And if we want to live godly lives, we got to follow the right instructions. We got to follow the right pattern. Of course, Paul said, I'm a pattern to those which should hereafter believe on Christ. But I thought, you know, I was thinking back to a few years ago when Denise and I had a great trial of our faith. On Christmas Eve, her and I single-handedly attempted to put together a ping pong table for our boys. And if you ever wanted to see your pastor get in the flesh, you should have been in our garage that night. Because I want you to know, it was horrible. It was terrible. And we had another thing, I think a bike that we were putting together. And I was thinking about trying to put that thing together, and we had the instructions out and everything. And I thought, you know what? If I am using the bike instructions to try to put the ping pong table together, how do you think that would work out? Which that might have been our problem, honey, and now that I'm thinking about it, we got the instructions mixed up. But no, I mean, seriously, if I'm using the bike instructions to put the ping pong table together, does that mean the bike instructions aren't right? Are they true? Oh, yeah, are they correct? Yeah, they're correct and they're true information, but they're not meant to build a ping pong table. Y'all know where I'm heading with this, right? Paul writes to the Galatian churches. He says, remember when I came to you and I gave you the gospel and I gave you correct doctrine? He said, now people have come in and now you're trying to live by the Old Testament law system of Israel. The Old Testament law system is true. It's correct information. But just like the bike instructions aren't meant to build a ping pong table, the Old Testament law system is true and it's correct information, but it's not going to build a strong grace age believer today. The Bible has a context, and you have to understand the context. Now, what if a person will not acknowledge the doctrine that is according to godliness? What's the result? Look at 1 Timothy 6:4. And notice what it says. This is a big statement. But Paul says, here it is. If they won't acknowledge the doctrine that's according to godliness that I've given you, Timothy, then look at it. Look at this. He says, verse 4, he is what? He's proud. And then there's a big statement, but it's a true statement. He said he knows what? Write that in your handout. Knowing nothing. That's a big statement. But that is so true. When a person will not acknowledge, listen to me now, church, when a person, I don't care if it's a preacher, I don't care if they're on TV, I don't care if they've written 50 books, I don't care who it is, if a person will not acknowledge Paul's position as the apostle of the Gentiles, they will not acknowledge that he received special revelation from Jesus Christ for the church, the body of Christ, then that person can study that book until they're blue in the face and they're not going to get it right. Because they are not going to ever be able to rightly divide it. And when you fail to rightly divide the Bible, you end up with wrong answers. You end up with strange doctrines. You may not think they're strange because that's what tradition taught me. You know, that's what I've always believed. And so to you it may not be strange. But if you were to put it up against what Paul teaches, it's strange doctrine. And a person may believe strange doctrine, and they're able to quote scripture left and right. In fact, they may even be filled with pride over how much Bible they know. But it will avail nothing. It will not build lives. It's not going to build up people. You're not going to be able to successfully grow people. You're not going to be able to see people grow and get rooted and grounded and become mature believers. It's going to lead to confusion. It's going to lead to frustration. It's going to lead to false doctrine. It's going to lead to false expectations. It's going to lead to aggravation. I want you to look again at verse 4, and I want you to notice again, see the result of what happens when people do not follow the right pattern. Look at verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing. And then notice this, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Do you see what comes from that? Do you see the result? A false teacher in pride always has some new revelation that they're going to give you. They've got some deep doctrine never before revealed, you know. And usually it's the twisting of an obscure passage, maybe in the Old Testament or some other portion of Scripture other than Paul usually. And it was going on in Paul's day. Look back at chapter 1 real quick. This is age-old problem. Look at chapter 1 and look at verse number 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Look at that. He tells him right there. He says, they're guys, they've swerved. Verse 6, they have swerved. They've turned aside unto vain jangling, you know. They're like, I use the illustration of, ladies, have you ever reached up and you're on your tippy toes and you're trying to get something out of the cupboard and boy, I mean, all the pots and pans come tumbling down? Vain jangling, right? Right, that's what that is. That's just a bunch of noise, right? But it's not going to lead anywhere. It's not a doctrine according to godliness. It's not going to lead you to godliness. It's vain jangling, like a bunch of pots and pans that fell on the ground. He says they have swerved. They've turned aside to vain jangling. Verse number 7. Notice, desiring to be teachers of the what? Is the law in the Bible? The law is in the Bible. It's Bible. But they were not handling it correctly. They were taking it out of context. Notice, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. The law is not wrong. The law is correct information. The law is true information. But you see, they were taking it and misusing it. This is what false teachers do. This is exactly what they do. For example, they'll take an obscure passage like, how many of you remember about 10 years ago there was a fad where this guy said he had found the secret to prayer. He had found the prayer that got God's attention. He found the prayer that God loved. He found the prayer that is going to absolutely bring God's blessings on your life. If you repeat this prayer every single day of your life, you are going to experience God's blessings manifold. And it was called the prayer of Jabez. Anybody remember that? This was the prayer of all prayers. Where is it? I don't remember Paul talking about that. Oh, it's in 1 Chronicles 4:10. 1 Chronicles 4:10 is the secret to our prayer life. This is written under the law. It's a Jew praying for more physical land area. That's the prayer that's going to revolutionize my prayer life. That's the prayer God's going to hear and listen. That's the prayer that's going to unlock God's blessings on my life. Listen, folks, these Christian fads and these things, they go on all the time. And I have never been one to jump on the bandwagon of the latest Christian fad because usually they're not right. It's usually about selling books, you know, and selling merchandise and this and that and the other. But I'm going to tell you, folks, you got to be careful. This stuff goes on all the time. One of the things about false teachers I've found is that salvation is no longer a simple to understand doctrine to a false teacher. Oh, no, salvation, no, it's not simple. You know, and yet Paul said, when I came to you guys at Corinth, he said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, man, when I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, when I came to you, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And there's a verse there in your handout, 2 Corinthians 11:3. Look at that one. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the, what's that next word? Simplicity that's located where, church? In Christ. You know, one way that you can test whether somebody is a false teacher, ask them this question. Say, how can I be saved? How can I be forgiven of all my sin and know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die? If their answer is a long, lengthy discourse, you probably have a false teacher on your hands. One time I had a false religion come to my door. They knocked on my door, and I opened up the door, and they talked a little bit, and I was polite. But then I said, can I ask y'all a question? It's two ladies. And they said, sure. I said, I want to go, you know, if I want to go to heaven, how can I know in your religion, how can I know for sure that I'm going to go to heaven when I die? How can I have that peace? How can I know I'm going to heaven? This is no lie. They looked at me straight in the eye and they said, we don't want to go to heaven. And I said, excuse me? They said, we don't want to go to heaven. I said, what do you mean? And they went into this very long, lengthy, confusing discourse about how only a few people were going to go to heaven. There was 144,000 that are going to go to heaven. But then all the others that do this and do that, they're going to stay on the earth and they're going to live on the earth forever. Wouldn't you like that? And I looked at them and I said, you don't want to go to heaven? No, we don't want to go to heaven. We want to stay here on the earth. And I said, huh, that's funny. Because I said, the Apostle Paul said that our hope is in heaven. We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're seated in the heavenlies. Our eternal blessings are in heavenly places. He said to depart and to be with Christ is far better. I said, you know what? I think I agree with Paul. I want to go to heaven. See you later. I never told them I was a pastor, you know. I think they put me on the X list. They didn't come back. Nobody came back. I think I got on the do not call list, you know. So funny. Of course, little Caleb, he was little. I don't remember how old he was at the time that happened, but, you know, he's seen me do that a few times. And so now every time somebody knocks on the door, Caleb goes, go ahead and answer it, Dad. I want to hear you. Go ahead and answer it. I'm like, son, I don't feel like answering the door. I don't feel, you got to be in the mood for that, you know. But yeah, you know, they're slick, man. They're slick. Because here's the deal. In your handout, it says false teachers are very convincing. False teachers are very convincing. Look in your handout at Ephesians 4:14. He says, Paul said that we henceforth be no more. And what's that next word? Children. He's talking about children in your understanding, in your faith. He says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of what we read on the front side of the handout, Hebrews 13:9, when he said, don't be carried about with strange doctrines. Paul says here, he says, don't be like a child, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. But then notice what he said, by the slight of men. And I don't know about you, I think about a magician when I see that. You know, magicians do stuff, they have sleight of hand, you know, and it's so fast and they're so good at it that your eyes deceive you, and what you think you saw, you didn't really see, but you thought you saw it. Why? Sleight of hand. He says here, false teachers, he says, you can get carried about with all these winds of doctrine by the sleight of men, and then look at the verse. Look at the verse. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're cunning. They're crafty. And one of the things I found out about false teachers, they're not afraid to toot their own horn. You know, they're not afraid to, you know, get on TV and, man, I got the answer, and I want you to know that, you know, if you want God's blessings on your life, here's what you need to do. And man, I mean, you know, I've got this special line to God, and you need to come through me and send me your prayer request, and then I'll pray over it, and then I'll, you know, and I mean, they're not afraid to toot their own horn. I've written this book, and it's a groundbreaking manifesto. You know, groundbreaking. Nobody's ever thought of this stuff until me. Man, this is brand new stuff. You know, why is it so important that you as a believer grow in Christ? You got to be able to detect false teachers. You can't stay a child. You got to grow. And that's why we encourage you, get in a Bible Institute class. Go to an Equip for Life class on Wednesday night. You know, get in a life group. Go beyond where you're at. Don't stay a child in understanding. Grow. Paul said, look in your handout in Acts 20. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Notice, to draw away disciples after them. And in our text, go back to 1 Timothy 6, and notice in our text that in verse 4, he says they're proud, knowing nothing, but they say a lot. They may not know the right thing, but that doesn't keep them from talking. He says they dote about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Paul said they dote. That word dote means to be sick, as a diseased appetite to harp upon. They have a disease of the spirit that causes them to fall in love with controversial things or strange doctrines, doctrines that don't line up with what Paul taught the church, and they get consumed with things that don't really matter. They get wrapped up with strifes of words rather than focusing on the clear, pure doctrine of Jesus Christ revealed to us through the Apostle Paul. You know, churches and people, Christians, they'll get consumed with things, you know, like, you know, well, you know, God... He before the foundation of the world, he foreordained every thought you were going to have, and he foreordained every action and what color socks you would wear today. He foreordained everything that you're going to do and everything you're going to say and every sin you'll commit. He already foreordained it. And some people, he foreordained that before they were ever born, they were going to be damned to hell. And, you know, some people, he foreordained that they were going to be saved, and it's all to his glory. And you're like, but I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, but, you know, and they get all caught up in these questions and strifes of words. Paul says, man, you better look out, because the result, when people get into these things, envy, strife, railings, which means to vilify, they vilify others, and then evil surmisings. They cast suspicion over good doctrine. What's Paul's advice? What do you do when you run across somebody like that? What do you do? Look in your handout. Romans 16. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. He says, you know, there's going to be people that are going to try to cause division. They're going to come against what I've taught you. They're going to go against the doctrine that you've learned. But then what's Paul's advice? He said, and what? Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches. Notice, not bad words. Not bad words and filthy speeches. He says good words and fair speeches. They talk about the Bible. They quote the Bible. They talk about Jesus. And look what he says. They deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple. Paul says you better avoid them, because their diseased spirit will influence you. Hey, question. If you don't want to catch a contagious disease, it's contagious. You can get it. But if you don't want to get it, how do you not get it? What's the best advice you could give somebody for not catching a contagious disease? Right. Stay away from those infected with it. And that's exactly what he's saying there. Unfortunately, many naive believers gravitate to strange doctrines. You know why? Because I'm convinced a lot of Christians are looking for a quick fix to their problems. They're looking for a quick fix to every problem. They're looking for an easy way to get out of some sort of trouble they're in. They're looking for a surefire, quick way to be able to get God to answer their prayer quickly. And they're looking for a quick fix. And so people fall prey to strange doctrine because the person that preaches the strange doctrine, It's good words and fair speeches. And, oh, this is going to bring God's blessing on your life. And, oh, this is going to open up the windows of heaven. And God's going to bless you with this. And, oh, this is just wonderful. And it's good words and fair speeches, and they deceive the hearts of the simple. You can't stay simple. You got to grow. You got to grow. Take advantage of those opportunities to grow. You don't want to stay simple, because you can get deceived. But you see, a lot of people don't want to study, and they don't want to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes work. Listen, if you don't have to work for the worm, there's probably a hook in it. If you don't got to work for the worm, there's probably a hook in it. If it's just floating there, look out. You say, Pastor Dan, well, what kind of strange doctrines do these kind of people teach? Everything imaginable. You name it. Channel surf the religious channels on your television. You'll hear many strange doctrines. I was reading, here's one. One religion right here in America teaches God is married to his goddess wife and has spirit babies. Here's another one. God used to be a man on another planet. I heard one guy, he was actually rebuking people in his own denomination for this. And I guess in his denomination it became in fad, and it became this way to get God's blessings. People would stand up in the middle of the church service and they would say, "Money! Money cometh to me now!" And they would go running up on the platform and throw wads of bills at the preacher's feet. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Because they were told and taught that's going to be sure to bring God's blessings. You're going to get back a hundredfold what you do. And so they'd stand up and scream, "Money cometh to me now!" And it caught on all through this denomination, and people were standing up hollering that and coming up and throwing wads of money up in the coffer. And the guy writing the article, he's part of the denomination. He said Christians began viewing their offerings like lottery scratch-offs. So you say, what kind of strange doctrines are you talking about? You name it. You name it, and it's out there. That's why you have to get rooted and grounded. But you know what the good news is? You do not have to know every conceivable false doctrine. It would be impossible anyway. Like I told you, there's too many of them. Praise God, I don't have to know every false doctrine out there. As long as I know the truth, I'll be all right. And that's in your handout. It says you need to concern yourself with knowing the truth, and you will be able to detect the difference between wholesome words and strange doctrines. I have been, through for my Christian life, I have made it a passion of my life to do what I told you last week, and I have studied, and filled my mind with the epistles that Paul wrote directly to the church, the body of Christ. Because I knew and was told as a young believer, if you know what Paul taught the church, you'll be able to tell when somebody's misusing other portions of Scripture and taking them out of context. And I can pretty much, you read a verse out of Paul's epistles, I can pretty much tell you the book and the chapter that it came out of. And I don't say that to brag, I say that to say that if you know the truth, you'll be able to tell when something doesn't match up with what Paul taught the church. You'll be able to tell when some preacher goes to some obscure verse in the Old Testament where they came and they threw their money in the temple and the coffer up at the front. That's in there. That's in the Bible. What was it? Was it Josiah, I think, was the king, and they put the coffer out in front of the temple, and they wanted to redo the temple, and they came and threw their money in the coffer of the temple. And some preacher gets a coffer up front and tells you to stand up and holler, "Money cometh now," and you come up and you throw your money in the coffer, and God's going to bless you, and here's the verse, because he'll have a verse. He'll have a verse. If you know what Paul taught the church, right away, you know that's tomfoolery. You know that's garbage. And you know that is a gross misuse of that text. And that is taking it out of what? Context. If you know the truth, it says you'll be able to detect the difference. Remember, it's fair speeches and good words. They're quoting the Bible. They're talking about God. They're not talking about, you know, serving the devil. Like I told you, I laughed last week. And so they don't put on the sign, First Church of False Doctrine, on the sign. It's good words and fair speeches. But if you are going to know the difference between wholesome words and strange doctrine, then you better be very familiar with the truth. And if you know the truth, you'll be able to tell what's counterfeit. That makes sense? Amen? And in your handout, it says, you know what the truth does? Once you know what the truth is, the truth will make you what? Free. You don't have to get entangled in these ridiculous questions and stripes of words. Paul is going to actually give us an example in this text of a strange doctrine. And you know what's amazing? The strange doctrine that he gives an example of is still prevalent today.